the book of John chapter 17 and the book of Romans chapter 12. Praise God. I believe the Lord would have His way tonight if we would allow Him to. And I would like to see Him help us and draw us closer. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know how some preachers are. I don't know. I need to ask them sometime. Maybe they're better than I am on this. But sometimes I go to a place and I don't know what I'm going to preach. You know, I don't know. And I say, Lord, you know, if you don't tell me something here, then we're in real trouble. But then there's times that when you go to a place that you feel like the Lord's laid something on your heart. And before I came this time, I felt like the Lord laid this on my heart. And I just felt like sometime through the week I would preach it. And here we are on the last night. And I feel like this is the time to give this to you. And I trust that the Lord will use it to draw us closer and higher in Him. John chapter 17, verse number 6. Then we're going to Romans chapter 12. Just follow along with me here in John chapter 17, verse number 6. We're going to go all the way through verse 19. I want you to notice a recurring word here in the text. Verse number 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Do you notice a recurring word there? 14 times in that portion of Scripture, the word world appears. World. Let's look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not dead, living. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to preach to you tonight for a little while, if the Lord will help and if you'll help, on the Christian and the world. The Christian and the world. Would you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are in your presence.
I thank you, Lord, that we as brothers and sisters of like precious faith have gathered here in this place together tonight. And Lord, your Spirit has been with us, as I already said, because we have brought you with us. Lord, I pray now that you would just open our hearts and that you would speak to us through the Word and the Spirit of God. Lord, that you would give us a challenge and that as we respond, we would move higher in Christ, closer to the Lord. God, we ask tonight that you would add your anointing and your liberty to the preaching of the Word, and we'll give you all the glory. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In the book of John, we find chapter 15, actually chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, and chapter 17. They all are lumped together. They are a unit, a body. And it is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. And we look here at chapter 17 especially, and we find that chapter 17 is a chapter of prayer. It is a prayer of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just show you the breakdown of this here in chapter 17. The first section is Jesus Christ praying for himself. It is Christ praying for Christ. And it is a prayer of completion because he said, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. It is a prayer of completion. But then in chapter 6, or verse 6 through verse 19, we find that now he is praying. Christ is praying for the Christians. He prays for them, and it is a prayer of sanctification. Lord, that you would sanctify those Christians, those believers. But then we get down to chapter 17 and verse number 20, and we find that it is Christ praying for the church. And it is a prayer of glorification. He said, Lord, I want you to glorify them. I want you to lift them out of this world and bring them to the other world. Hallelujah. I'm glad to tell you tonight that our life is not only in this world, but we have a hope and a life beyond this world and in the world to come. Hallelujah. Paul said, if I had hope only in this world below, I would be of all men most miserable. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I have a hope beyond this world. Aren't you? Amen. These scriptures tonight are giving us an insight to the relationship of the Christian and the world. Now, the first thing I want you to know about the Christian and the world is that they are not compatible. They do not go together. Amen. Matter of fact, there is a division between the Christian and the world. It seems as if we have come into a time when people are confused about this. Amen. They feel like that the Christian and the world are to be compatible and are to walk together hand in hand. But really, the Word of God tells us here that we are not of the world. We are not part of it. We are not like it. We are not blending with it. And then when we go to Romans chapter 12, we find that Paul is talking to the Roman church. He said, now listen to me. I beseech you, brethren. I beg of you, is what he's saying. Listen to what I have to say. Present your body a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God. That is your reasonable service. But then in verse number 2, he said, be not conformed to the world. Then do not take the shape of the world. It is reinforcing our main text in John. Do not conform to the world. Amen. There is not to be a conformation, but there is to be a transformation. Our mind, our life, our heart, our soul is to be transformed until we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We have reached an age today when the whole world and even the professing church world is against the things of God. I don't know if you've noticed this. I'm sure you have. But the world that we live in today is against God. Amen. They are anti-God and they are pro everything that's against God. They want the homosexual marriage. They want, amen, the abortion rights. They want all of this stuff. Anything that God's against, therefore. And anything that God's for,
for, they're against. That's the world that we are living in. But the thing that bothers me the most here is that the line of separation between the church and the world has been lost. Amen. Really today, oh God help us, really today you can take the modern church and drop them down in the middle of the mall and you would be hard pressed to tell who is the Christian and who is not. Amen. Oh yes. You cannot tell today the saints from the ain'ts. It's hard time telling that because we have blended so much. But I feel like the Lord has led me to tell you tonight in John chapter 17 exactly where the Christian and the world are to have their relationship. First of all, I want to tell you, look at verse number 6. We are saved out of this world. Look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Amen. Are you glad to be saved tonight? Wave your hand in the air and say hallelujah. I'm glad to be saved tonight. I'm glad that Jesus Christ has reached down and got a hold of my life. He picked me up out of the miry clay. He lifted my feet out of that horrible pit. Amen. He took me from the mire all the way to the choir. Hallelujah. He put a song of praise in my heart. Amen. That word saved, oh glory, it means to be rescued from, to be spared, to be delivered. Amen. I'm glad that I've been delivered by the grace of God. I'm glad that I've been delivered from sin. I'm glad that I've been delivered from hell. I'm glad that I've been delivered from death. I'm glad that I've been delivered from the clutches of Satan. Amen. I have been saved out of the world. Amen. Oh yes, when we come out of the world's fellowship, when we get saved and washed in the blood, amen, we might lose a few things. We might lose some friends that we thought were close. Our family might look at us a little different. Amen. But oh, it's worth it to be saved. Amen. This is why Christ came. The Bible said, I am coming to the world that they might be saved. As a matter of fact, when Jesus' birth was announced, Brother Matt, amen, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he came. I'm glad that he died. I'm glad that he paid the price that I can be saved today. Amen. I'm saved from the world. I'm saved from sin. Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad I'm saved tonight out of the world. I'm glad he lifted me out of it. I'm not part of it anymore. I have been redeemed by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Saved from the world. But now listen to this. I got to tell you this. It's bad news. But we're still in the world. Look at verse number 11. He said in verse 11, bad news, I told you. He said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. You know what that means, Brother Grimmett? It means that we are still in the middle of this old wilderness. We're still going to face trials. We're going to face tribulation. We're still going to have tests. We're still going to have problems. Amen. One man said, oh, when you get saved, everything's new. It's a bed of roses. Oh, yes, but you better tell them about the thorns on the roses. Because when you get saved, you still got to live in this old world. You're still going to get sick. You're still going to have headaches. You're still going to have problems. You're still going to have to face the trials of life. We still have to be in the wilderness. Hey, young people, you still got to go to school. And when you get out of school, you still got to go to work. You've got to rub shoulders with the world every day. Amen. But the Bible tells us in the Song of Solomon how we can make it through this wilderness. He said, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Leaning upon her beloved. Amen. Oh, glory to God. We're in this wilderness and we're up out of it. We're going out of it. But on the whole trip, we've got to lean on Jesus. Lean on His everlasting arms. We are saved from the world, but we are still in the world. But listen here now. The problem is that we have lived in the world, but now the world is beginning to live in us. Amen. Oh, that's where the problem is. We've got to get the world out and get more of the Spirit of God in. We've got to lay aside the weights and the sins and go on to perfection in the grace of God. The Bible says, amen, that we must not be conformed. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. W.G. Heslop, an old preacher, said this: the ship is all right in the water, but the water is all wrong in the ship. And then he proceeded to say, the church is all right in the world, but the world is all wrong in the church. Amen. Oh, yes, the ship is made to stay in the water, but the water is not supposed to get in the ship. Amen. The church is made to stay in the world, but the world cannot stay in the church. Amen. We've been left here for a purpose, but we cannot let the world get in. We cannot let it get into our mind. We cannot let it get into our hearts. We cannot let it get into our attitudes. Amen. We must keep the world out. We are in it, but it cannot be in us. If you notice in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, I may have mentioned this to you last time I was here. The children of Israel were brought out of Egypt in one night. Over 3 million, excuse me, individuals brought out in one night. But, Brother Miller, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Amen. That comes to a total of 14,600 nights. And for 14,600 nights, they wandered in the wilderness saying, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt. Amen. God brought them out of Egypt in one night. But it took 14,600 nights for God to get Egypt out of them. Amen. Can I tell you something, church? It's time for us to get Egypt out of us. Let's quit saying, I want to go back. Let's quit saying, I want the world. I want to be like that world. Amen. Let's get it out of us. We are in the world, but the world cannot be in us. We are saved from the world. We are left in the world. But look at verse 14 and 16. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The Bible tells us here now that we are saved from it, we are left in it, but we are not of it. We are not of it. That means that we do not have an entanglement in it. We do not have a tie into it. Amen. We do not have that holding on to us. Amen. Believers are strictly commanded to live in the world and not be of the world. The Bible describes us Christians by several words. Number one, He said, you're foreigners. Oh, glory to God. Have you ever been to a foreign country before? I have. You walk into that foreign country and you don't speak the same language. They're talking to you and you're I don't know. You don't know what they're saying. They don't know what you're saying. You have a different conversation. Amen. Oh, can I tell you something, friend? When we are saved by the grace of God, we live in the world, yes, but our conversation is not of the world. We don't talk the same way they do. Amen. We talk a different way because we've got a different heart. Hallelujah. Not only a different conversation, but we've got a different conduct. We don't live like they do. They can lie and cheat and steal. They can cheat on their spouse. They can drink and do all of that. But we've got a different conduct because our conduct is the conduct of a heavenly citizen. code. Amen. It's called the Word of God. We don't march to the same drumbeat they do, but we march to the heavenly drummer. Amen. That tells us how to live. We've got a heavenly calling. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not called to this world. We are not called to uncleanness, but we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And finally, we've got a different country. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Friend, I'm not of this world. I'm nothing of it. I'm not tied to it. I'm not married to it. Amen. But this is where the church has failed. Over the years, we've grown tired of being different. So we have conformed to the ways of the world. Oh, let me preach to you tonight what I feel in my spirit. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world has grown tired of being different. We have grown tired of being looked at as different. We don't want to be known as strange. We don't want people to think that we are peculiar. Oh, so we have conformed. We've taken the shape of. That's what that word conform means. To take the shape of. The look of. The ways of. Let me illustrate here. How many of you women have ever made Jell-O before? All right, a few hands. You take that Jell-O, mix it up. I'm not a cook. You'll find that out real quick here. You mix that Jell-O up with whatever you mix it up with. Water, sounds good to me. And you take it and then pour it in a mold. It might be a star shape. It might be a watermelon shape. It might be any kind of shape in the world. But you pour that Jell-O into it. You slide it into the refrigerator and let it cool and chill. And when you take that out of the refrigerator, you take that mold and turn it upside down. Am I right? And when you do, that Jell-O comes out. But it still has the shape of the mold. That's what conforming is. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. We as the church world today have conformed to the world. The world has said, I want you to look like this. I want you to talk like this. And so the church has begun to conform. Amen. Oh, let me warn you from the scripture. Be not conformed. Do not take the shape of. Do not take the ways of. Do not take the works of. But get rid of the world. Remember, you're not of it. This world's not your home. You're a stranger here. You're a foreigner here. You're a pilgrim passing through. Do not take the shape of the world. There was a governor one time. His daughters came to him and said, Father, we are going to a banquet, and we would like to wear the dress that they are wearing. Listen to what the governor said. He said, the governor's daughters do not follow the fashion. They set the fashion. Can I tell you something, church? The church is not to be a follower. But the church is to be a trendsetter. We are to determine how the world goes instead of the world determining how we go. It is time for the church to stand up and say, I am a Christian. I am born again. Yes, I know the world doesn't like it. I know that they'll say you're not politically correct. I know they'll say, hey, you're an oddball. But friend, it's worth it. I'd rather be like Jesus than be like Judas, wouldn't you? I'd rather be like Christ than be like the world that is around me, because I am not of it. Oh, glory to God. It used to be that the church set the trend for the world. I don't know if you've studied much about history, but there was a time in America and in England when the men that stood in the pulpit directed the country. Yes, they did. They would preach the Word of God, and the people would live the Word of God, and the country would go the ways of God. But now we have seen a change, and the country and the world have influenced the men in the pulpit. Amen. Oh, I believe it's time we turn it around and say, listen, the church is right. The Bible is right. God is right. Let God be true and every man a liar. We will stand with God. We will stand for God. We will not conform to the ways of the world. There's only one way that you can overcome the world. Look what he said. I pray in verse 17 that you would sanctify them through thy truth. There's only one way, church, for us to be the church Jesus wants. And that's for us to sanctify ourselves. Let me tell you what that word means. Two meanings to it. Number one, when you sanctify yourself, you set yourself apart from sin. Sin is over there. Remember, we're saved from it. Right? But then there's a second part, Brother Bronner. We not only separate ourselves from sin, but we separate ourselves to God. Amen. In other words, we say no to sin and we say yes to God. And so if God says do this, we do it. If God says lay this aside, we lay it aside. If God says pray, we pray. If He said go to church, we go to church. Anything that the Spirit of God says, we do, because we are sanctified. The only way we're going to be an overcomer, the only way we're going to make it is to get away from the world and get away to God. Hallelujah. Even the Bible tells us what to do with the world. He said flee it. He said abstain from it. He said come out from among it. He said do not be a friend of the world. Do not be corrupted by the world. Do not be spotted by the world. And do not be overcome by the world. Church, I just came to tell you tonight, it's time for the church of God to stand up one more time, plant their feet on the Word of God, square their shoulders back, and say, I am a Christian, and I will not conform to the world. I will not be like it. I will be different by the grace of God. We read in the Bible about two men that I want you to notice. Number one, Joseph. Joseph. Remember him? He's in Egypt. That's the world. And that old woman, Potiphar's wife, come to him and lay hold on his coat sleeve and said, come, lie with me. Let's have an affair. But the Bible said that he fled. He turned his back on her and ran. We read about a second man. That man's name was Samson. And that old woman, Delilah, said, come and lie with me. And Samson didn't flee, but he followed. There's only two things you can do, church. You can either flee or you can follow. Amen. If you'll be a fleer, you'll be a picture of Christ like Joseph is. But if you're going to be a follower of the world, you'll be a backslider like Samson was. Amen. Oh, let me ask you, what would you rather be? Would you rather be a picture of Christ? Would you rather be a Christian? Or would you rather be a backslider? I want to be a Christian, don't you? I want to keep him in my heart. I want to keep my heart in heaven. I want to go all the way with Him. I want to be a follower of Christ. Let me show you a couple more things before I quit. In verse 18, notice this. Let me just recount here. We are saved from the world. We are left in the world. But we are not of the world. But now notice verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. When we as the church are right and pure before God, do you know what He does with us, Brother Wilson? He said, listen, go out into the world and show them Jesus. There's another word the Scripture uses to describe the church, and that is an ambassador. An ambassador is one that is sent from his country into another country. That ambassador goes and lives in that foreign country. He shows them how his country lives. He influences them and tells them, this is how we do it in my country. This is how my king or my president says is the best way to do it. Amen. Oh, we are an ambassador, church, and we are left in this country that we can go every day as an ambassador of Christ and say, my king said it's best to do it this way. My king said it's best to live like this. Amen. The ambassador never changes. He does not live like that foreign country. He lives like his own country. And he is a light for his country to those foreigners. Amen. That is what you are to be, friend, when you're living right before God. When you're living a life of holiness and purity. He said, now go into the world. Go out there in the middle of them and be a light set on a hill. Be a city set on a hill. Amen. Be a light for Jesus. Go tell them and show them this is a better way. I have the right way. He said, go be a witness. Go be an ambassador. Go and bear the news to Jesus that Jesus is the King of Kings. That's what you are to do, church. You are not to sit in the house, but you are to go out into the world, into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in. You, by your conversation, you, by your good life, you, by your good witness, you're a witness. You're telling them, come see Jesus. Come find a man that can take all your sin away. Come find a man that can give you peace and joy in your soul. Come find a man that can put your home together. We are into the world to win them from the world. Let me close one more. I want you to notice this. We did not read this verse, but I want you to look at it with me in verse 24. Jesus is still praying. He said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. We are saved from the world. We are left in the world. We are not of the world. We are sent into the world. But Brother Bronner, one day, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be taken out of the world. Oh, hallelujah. You say, I don't know if it's worth it to live holiness. I'll tell you right now, it is. You say, I don't know if it's worth all the sacrifice. I don't know if it's worth people looking at me like I'm strange. I don't know if it's worth it. Young people, you might be facing that at school. I don't know. Is it worth it to live this? Amen. Right now, it may not seem like it. Right now, it may seem difficult. But listen, there's going to come a day when we're lifted up, hallelujah, by the mercy and grace of God, when we're taken away in the rapture, and we'll be able to look back and say, it was worth it all. It was worth it. It was worth it. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And I want to encourage you tonight. Keep on living for God. Keep on pushing the world away. Keep sin at bay in your life. Because one day we're going to go up and the world is going to go down. One day we're going to be victorious and we're going to go to heaven and ever be with the Lord. It will be worth it, church. Amen. Don't forget it. Don't give up on it. Don't throw it aside. Don't throw in the towel. Do not surrender now, because soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Soon and very soon we'll not be in this world anymore, but we'll be in the world to come. Let me close with this. There was a vendor. I may have told you this. I don't know. I feel like telling you tonight. There was a vendor that sold worms. That vendor, every day, would go by a farm. And there was a bird that lived in a tree on that farm. And he would come down to the roadside. And he would look at those worms that the vendor was selling. And he would say, Mr. Vendor, would you sell me a worm? And that vendor said, oh yes, bird, I will sell you a worm. The bird said, what is the cost for that worm? The vendor said, give me one of your feathers. So the bird plucked a feather, handed it to the vendor. The vendor gave him the worm, and he flew off and enjoyed that worm. The next day, same thing. The next, same thing. Over and over and over. He would pluck a feather and eat a worm. But there came a day when that bird woke up one morning and he was cold. He knew wintertime had come. And he said, I will fly to the south as I always have. When he stretched out his wings to fly, there were no feathers. He had traded his wings for things, and he could not fly. Listen very closely, church. We are going to fly out of here. We are going to go on a heavenly flight. But if we have traded all of our spiritual wings for earthly things, we will not be able to fly. You say, preacher, why do you preach this message to us tonight? Because I don't want to see one of you on that great resurrection morning try to spread your heavenly wings to fly and you have no ability to go. Don't trade your wings for things. Oh, I know that the vendor makes it look so good. I know that he makes it look so appealing. But listen, listen, listen to the man of God. Do not trade what you have with Christ for what you can have in this world. This is temporary. That is eternal. Are you trading your wings for things? Stand with me if you would. Heavenly Father, I ask for your Spirit to add blessing to the preaching of the Word tonight. Lord, I ask for the Holy Ghost to speak to us and to challenge us. Lord, maybe someone among us tonight is living in the world, but they have become like the world. Maybe we have ceased to have that distance between us and the world. Maybe the world has worked its way into our hearts and we have become more like this world than your world. Lord, I pray that tonight, if someone is giving their wings for the things that this world is offering, I ask that in the name of Jesus, you would speak and prick their hearts and draw them back to the Christ life, to the holy way, to Jesus Christ. Lord, let us sanctify ourselves in the name of Jesus. With your head still bowed, I want to just ask you something. I want you to ponder it. Have you been trading your heavenly wings for earthly things? Have you become like this world? Have you become part of this world? Are you so caught up in the worldly things that when the rapture takes place, you'll not be able to make that heavenly flight? You see, really, it is a very important message tonight. Really, it is a very important thought. We need to ask ourselves, are we conformed to this world? Are we taking the shape, the likeness, the looks, the ways of this world? Or are we still transformed by the mind of Christ? Heavenly Father, speak to us right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With your head still bowed, I want to ask you right now, is there somebody that you would say by raising your hand, preacher, I've been trading heavenly things for earthly things. I've been trading my spiritual life for things of this world. I've been trading the eternal for temporary things right here. I've drifted away from the Lord, but tonight I'd like to make a rededication and commitment. I'm going to live for God, even in the middle of this old world. Is there somebody by raising your hand you'd say that? I'm going to go closer to Jesus tonight. I'm going to go closer to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, would you speak to us right now? Church, let's make an altar around the front of this church. Let's call on the Lord. Let's examine our hearts. Have we traded heavenly things for earthly things? In Jesus' name, speak to us, O Lord. Speak to us, O Lord. Draw us closer to you. Sanctify us, O God. Sanctify us, O God. Sanctify us, O God. Sanctify us, O God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord.